16 minutes after 4, got downtown on a Football Friday show here. Live at Seasons Main Street in Bangor in our Quality Jewelers studios. Here come the Jesters, 1, 2, 3. Time to talk some fantasy football, and to do that, we're joined on the Tiller and Rye telephone line by Scott Gramling, NFL fantasy freak. He's the editor of the Fantasy Football Draft Guide. You hear him, of course, on the Patriots broadcast as well. Scott, good to have you back with us on Downtown.
Yeah, great to be back. A whole new football season. Hard to believe it's underway already.
Absolutely, and a great start to the season last night. Lots of excitement there. Why wouldn't somebody take this Gronkowski guy as the overall number one? I think he's good.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, he was our... He was on the cover of our magazine this year, and, you know, we did make the case that he should have been in the conversation as a number one overall pick. I know there was a lot of other outlets that say you should hold off on taking a tight end, that maybe Gronk is somebody who shouldn't be going until the early second round. I think that's foolish. I just think that there's so much difference between him and every other tight end. I mean, right now you'd have to say the number two tight end is Jimmy Graham, but he's not going to be as good with the Seahawks as he was with the Saints. Seahawks were a run-first attack, and I just think that when you have a head-to-head matchup and you have Gronk, you get such a head start most weeks over the other guy's tight end that, to me, it's hard not to have considered him in the middle of the first round at the latest.
I heard a great stat today that Gronk's 3 touchdowns last night were more than all of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers tight ends all last year.
And it was actually 3 more than all of the Kansas City Chiefs wide receivers last year. Oof. So try that one on for size.
Wow. So for anybody who hasn't drafted yet, you look at those possible first picks. If you go with a running back, do you go with a guy like Bell who's out for a couple of weeks? Do you go with somebody like an AP who might be a bit of a question mark, or is there a different direction?
Yeah, I like Jamaal Charles as the top pick. Right now I have them as Jamaal Charles number one, Le'Veon Bell 2. And, you know, what we were suggesting with Le'Veon Bell is you take Le'Veon Bell high in the first round, and then you take D'Angelo Williams somewhere in the 8th or 9th round. And as we saw last night, I mean, D'Angelo Williams rattled off 127 rushing yards. Didn't find the end zone, but still a pretty solid fantasy day. I think Eddie Lacy is the number 3 back. I've inched him up ahead of Adrian Peterson, who I have at number 4. And I think what really gave Lacy the edge was the Jordy Nelson injury, because I think that it might be a little time before Aaron Rodgers trusts Davante Adams enough inside the 5. I think there were some plays you saw last year where Rodgers would come to the line, he'd see Jordy Nelson one-on-one coverage, check out of a run into a pass. I think that's going to happen less frequently now that it's Davante Adams instead of Jordy Nelson. I still think Davante Adams has a lot of value, a lot of fantasy value, but I think you're going to see more running plays. You're going to see Aaron Rodgers checking out of the run less frequently this year, and Eddie Lacy is going to capitalize on that. So those are the 4 guys I would go with in that order. Jamaal Charles 1, Le'Veon Bell 2, Eddie Lacy 3, Adrian Peterson 4, and then really I think it's Gronk is number 5. I think a case could be made for either Gronk or Antonio Brown. I would go with Gronk just because of how shallow the tight end position is.
Scott, talking about quarterbacks in the draft now, obviously there are the top tier guys, but once you get to that second level, it seems like there's just a giant glut of players that are similar. Where do you look for value? Is a guy like Sam Bradford a guy that could blow up at a position in, say, 10th, 11th round?
Oh, absolutely. I'm not sure you're getting him in the 10th or 11th round anymore. I think that third preseason game where he went 10 for 10 with 3 touchdowns, and I think it was 127 yards against the Packers, that really bumped his average draft position by almost 2 rounds, where he was going 8th or 9th in most drafts. But that's where I agree wholeheartedly, that's where you're going to find the value. I think if you look at a guy like Bradford, maybe Ryan Tannehill, Eli Manning is kind of flying under the radar, which is kind of strange when you consider big market, 2-time Super Bowl MVP. But I think the key with Eli Manning is that the Giants' defense is shaping up to be a wretched unit. And you could see a lot of 35, 31, 41, 38 type games, and Eli's going to be throwing the ball a lot. So, yeah, I love waiting on a quarterback. You know, I wouldn't even consider Rodgers or Luck until the third round, just because I think there's so much value in that middle tier among the guys we just mentioned, and maybe a little above that, Tony Romo, Matt Ryan. But there certainly is value to be had. And a guy like Bradford, if he stays healthy in that Chip Kelly offense, it's not outlandish to think that he could end up as a top five fantasy quarterback when the season ends. The only thing with Bradford is the injury risk. But, look, you have to take the risk in fantasy if you want the reward, and certainly a lot of upside with Bradford.
Now, I was one of the many guys who was high on the possibility of Teddy Bridgewater taking a step forward, but then the injury to John Sullivan, two guys off the O-line, is he sliding down on draft charts?
Yeah, I think he is. I think with Bridgewater, and I kind of put Bridgewater in with Phillip Rivers, Joe Flacco. I think those are guys who, in certain weeks, could really get you kind of a stinker of a fantasy game. I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, maybe four or five out of the 16 weeks with those kind of guys, you get like 218 yards, maybe a touchdown and a pick. I don't think there's a ton of upside from a fantasy standpoint with Bridgewater, because I think it's going to be a lot of Adrian Peterson, a lot of controlling the ball. I think from a real football standpoint, I like Bridgewater a lot. I do think moving forward that he's going to be more and more of a fantasy factor as the years go on. I just don't know if they're going to open up a playbook for him this year because they have Adrian Peterson in the backfield.
I'm a rookie guy, and when I looked at the wide receiver class, I feel like there's a lot of value up and down the board, but because I like to look for the undiscovered guy, quote-unquote, I made a move in the draft for Amari Cooper, and I really feel like he's poised to have an opportunity in L.A. just based on the fact that they don't have anybody else for Derek Carr to throw it to. What do you think of his outlook for the season?
Yeah, I do like Amari Cooper. It's interesting. I can't remember a time. It's been several years, I think, since I was high on both a Raiders running back and a wide receiver. I think Latavius Murray is a good sleeper value if you can get him in, or you already got him in like the fourth or fifth round. Amari Cooper as well. I think he's a top 20 fantasy wide receiver. I'm not ready to put him much higher than that because, you know, it still is the Raiders. They still have to prove that they've made the strides on offense. But I think a lot of upside with Cooper, and Nelson Aguilar for the Eagles is another rookie wide receiver I'm extremely high on. I think he's somebody who's been really taken as like the fourth wide receiver on a lot of fantasy teams, and I think he has the potential to deliver number two fantasy value. You look at a guy like that, he's pro-ready, and again, that Chip Kelly offense, it's so fast-paced that the Eagles are running six, seven, eight more plays on average than other teams. And that just means more opportunities up and down the board for those skilled position players.
With so many players starting the season injured, still being drafted because of their position on their team, obviously they slip in the draft, but you're looking for value. Where do you place a guy like Todd Gurley, who looks to get the bulk of the carries for the Rams?
Yeah, it's tough with Gurley because you don't want to fall into a hole. So it looks like with Gurley, he's going to miss the first 3 weeks for sure. I might hold him out for a fourth week. You don't want to merge from that at 1-3. So I think if you could get Gurley as your third running back, and he was really going on average as a lot of teams' second running backs, I think that's a tricky situation. I don't think it's like Le'Veon Bell, D'Angelo Williams, where you can handcuff somebody right away. Because if you took Gurley, Trey Mason's a little banged up. Trey Mason isn't necessarily a guy I want starting the way I might D'Angelo Williams when Le'Veon Bell is out. So I think Gurley certainly has upside. And, look, I guess the flip side of what I'm saying is if you can get through the first 4 weeks, you're 3-1, then you got Todd Gurley coming off the bench, you're in a pretty sweet spot. But, generally speaking, I tend to shy away a little bit from guys coming back from injury. You just never know how effective they're going to be right off the bat. And I think Adrian Peterson was the aberration among running backs where he came back and was just running wild right off the bat. You just never know. Sometimes with some of these guys, it takes them a month or two, and then sometimes the bulk of the season to really get their legs under them after such a major injury. And it is an injury he had last season. He's less than 12 months removed from that. So, again, there's risk-reward with injury situations, and I think that's where I would put Gurley as well. But he certainly could deliver big value, the latter three quarters of the season.
Scott, before we wrap it up here, any potential sleepers, any others to keep an eye on? Any waiver wire guys to maybe grab early in the season, even just to stash away for a while?
Yeah, I can't believe I'm saying this, but I'm going to mention a Jacksonville Jaguars wide receiver. That's Allen Robinson. I think Allen Robinson is kind of going a bit unnoticed in a lot of fantasy drafts, and this is a guy who was having a great rookie season until he suffered a season-ending injury. I think it was in week 10 or 11. But Blake Bortles really looks improved. Greg Olsen, the offensive coordinator, not the tight end, down in Jacksonville, has really gotten a reputation of really kick-starting young quarterbacks' careers. And it really was Bortles' mechanics last year that he was struggling with, and he looked very good in the preseason. So if Bortles does take that next step, and I think he will, then somebody's going to benefit from a receiver standpoint. To me, that's Allen Robinson. I would watch him week one against the Panthers, and I might take a flyer on him, pick him up if you can before the weekend, but if you can't make a move until next week, keep an eye on him. And I would almost hope that maybe he has a mediocre game, like a 5-catch, 62-yard type game, because I think if he blows up for like 8 catches, 111 yards, and a touchdown, the Cat's going to be out of the bag on that.
Great stuff. A Scott Grambling, NFL fantasy freak. You can follow him on Twitter, hear him on the Patriots broadcast as well. Stack, can we draft over again now that I got all this good information from Scott here? Man, oh, man. Hey, Scott, we appreciate it, as always. Great talking with you. Have a wonderful season, and hope we can check back with you from time to time throughout the year.
Absolutely. Great talking to you guys. Have a great weekend.
Scott Grambling, NFL fantasy freak here on Downtown.